I'm Nick Simon. I'm from Nottingham. I'm a Conservative Party member, but I've got quite a well-known Facebook group, which is called the 17.4 million Want No Deal, the Nick Simon group, which is obviously a very pro-Brexit group. We've got about 5,000 members, and we are from all political backgrounds, but we all share in the view that, you know, when we voted for Leave, we wanted to leave. We wanted to leave the European Union on WTO terms and trade in the same way as we do with countries outside Europe.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up.
It's
interesting you bring that up in the context of what's been going on with the Tory leadership. What do you think the two are related, Brexit and what's happened?
Yes, I'm afraid I do. I think that the destabilising of Boris Johnson was really brought about by the fact that Remainers in the party and the establishment and the media would never forgive him for seeing through Brexit as far as he could. And I think the worry is that there is kind of a Ramona plot, that the narrative being first get rid of Boris, then destabilise the party, and then get somebody in that's from the moderate side, and then push for rejoining the single market. So, you know, that's the worry, and I can see a hell of a lot of evidence for it. And I was at a Conservative meeting the other night where one of the guys got up and basically said to an MP, he listed the things that led to Boris Johnson's departure, and they really were incredibly petty. You know, I mean, when a prime minister's in office and he's incredibly busy and under incredible strain, he's not going to be micromanaging his staff and telling them, you know, don't arrange drinks parties after work. It really is beyond ridiculous that he could have been blamed for that. And I just think they brought him down for the most ridiculous, petty reasons that you would never bring a prime minister. I remember at the time, I posted on my Facebook group that some people have got short memories. If you remember when Theresa May was brought down, she was basically on the verge of bringing down Brexit. She was going against the will of the people in a democratic referendum, and she was trying to force us down the route of a Brexit in name only. It was a really, really serious situation, and if you compare that with a few office drinks in, you know, in 10 Downing Street, and then a Conservative MP kind of groping somebody in the Carlton Club. I felt at the time that Theresa May had to be brought down, but I thought the way they brought Boris down was beyond farcical. And it does worry that it was, you know, basically a Remainer plot to bring Boris down.
Liz Truss.
In the single market.
Yeah, Liz Truss clearly was a Remainer. What about Rishi Sunak?
The thing about Sunak is, I've never seen any evidence that he voted for Leave or campaigned for Leave. So he's, on numerous occasions, he said that he did support Leave, but he's certainly not been high profile in the support of Leave, and he does come across as very globalist. Mm.
Well, one of the things
you have to accept that I may be wrong.
Which is a bit worrying about Sunak. I mean, it's only really come out in the last few days. I've seen articles about this company that he's invested in over in India, which is basically it's a social credit firm based on the Chinese model, which is looking at the, you know, sort of scoring citizens, saying that X citizen is a good citizen, therefore that they can do certain things that Y citizen can't do. So you really, you know, this is something that seems to be in Rishi Sunak's blood, which I find it quite chilling, the idea. I mean, there's something about social credit which seems to be almost a kind of new fascism over in China, where, you know, certain people go, and they're not allowed, for example, to go up a level for a year. If they fall down a level, you you've got to sit in that level for a year before you're allowed to, after having been a good citizen, for whatever reasons they use to score people, even if it's just, you know, jaywalking and things like this. And if you, say, for example, don't fill out a form properly, a government form properly, you can go down the scales. And that you, for example, then can't use the long-distance trains in China and things like this. And for Rishi to be invested in that sort of firm in India doesn't bode well, really.
It is deeply worrying. I mean, I've seen programmes about China and their education system, and it does all seem to be extremely harsh and controlling. I mean, I'm very much a libertarian. I even don't like the fact that, you know, since the pandemic and the end of the pandemic, you still go into certain bars and clubs and things and they won't accept cash. So I'm even annoyed about that, let alone a bigger digital currency kind of 1980.
Yeah, well, I think
I'm not sure entirely how legal it is to not accept cash. It is legal tender after all.
Yeah, so I mean, this is a whole another battle that needs to be fought, I think. But anyhow, what? Just tell us what you would like to happen within the Tory party. Is it simply you want Boris back? Because I mean, he's stood down this time, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think I've got more realistic goals than that. I hate this phrase, but I'm going to use it. We are where we are. The big thing I want is Suella Braverman to be still at the Home Office for the next two years or until the next general election. And I want her to be supported by the Prime Minister. If he's just put her in there as a token gesture and then he brings her down after 5 minutes, then I think he should go himself. But the fact that he has put Suella Braverman in at the Home Office, and she is clearly A Brexiteer, but B, she's serious about the Channel crisis, which is easily the biggest issue that I get feedback on from Facebook. While she's at the Home Office, I do have some degree of confidence, and we've got to keep with them. But, you know, if she just gets brought down straight away, that will totally undermine the government for me. So she's very much key. And I mean, like many, many Conservatives, I was about to hand in my membership the other day. And what stopped me was Suella Braverman being made Home Secretary. So she's the absolute key.
What about the progress of Brexit, though? Because it doesn't really seem... I mean, we may be in the situation where it looks as if by going off on our own, away from Europe, that we may have to accept IMF bailouts and this sort of thing. I mean, is it really worth having Brexit if Britain becomes the economic basket case of the Western world?
Well, I don't think we would have done if we'd... We haven't taken advantage of the opportunities of Brexit at all. I mean, we've struggled to get out of EU regulation. We haven't done that. We've still got part of our sovereign territory, Northern Ireland, that's kind of in the customs area. And somebody said, that was much cleverer than me, said no country anywhere in the world would accept part of their sovereignty being regulated by a foreign power, as we do in Northern Ireland. And the thing that nobody can accept is the EU is a foreign power. We're no longer in the EU, so they shouldn't be regulating in Northern Ireland. So, I mean, you know, that's a big stumbling block that needs to be resolved, and this government needs to show some mettle that they're going to sort it out. I hope they do it by the Northern Ireland Protocol Bill. They're still talking about agreeing a deal with the EU, which makes me want to put my head in my hands, because it's never going to happen. But yeah, overall, I mean, Brexit could have made us very much more profitable and very much more, on a global trader had we took the opportunities of it. But I think Boris Johnson made mistakes, but I think also he was a bit sidelined by the fact that as soon as we had Brexit, we got thrown into COVID. And then there was this lockdown, which was so incredibly damaging to the economy, and it appears now that most people are actually openly accepting that lockdown was a mistake, could have been handled in a different way. So that put us back, and then obviously the war in Europe and the energy prices. So I really don't think Brexit has had a chance to fulfil itself yet. But we really must get this Northern Ireland situation sorted out.
Yeah.
And that will be a test of Sunak, because if he doesn't do it, you know, he'll be gone.
I think it was the one of the von Habsburgs, who's the boss of the Pan-European Union based in Munich, during Brexit, he said it's actually quite entertaining watching the Brits try to leave because they'll never manage it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, but I remember at the time, I remember there was a European Union official from Finland. I could tell he was from Finland because of his accent. Can't remember his name. But he kept saying all this talk about Brexit. There is no mechanism to leave. There is no way to leave. And he repeated it time and time and time again. But that's the situation that they've managed to get, for example, Italy in. Any country that's in the euro, it is impossible for them to leave. It is impossible for them to extricate themselves from, unless they have a complete banking crisis and their economy collapses, in which case they may have to dump the euro. They may be forced to dump the euro and relaunch their own currency. But if they were forced into that, you know, it would be a Europe-wide economic collapse that, you know, brought it about. So,
it might even be started by the Brits. Who knows? I mean, also, there's
countries trapped in that currency, and it's so uncompetitive. It's ridiculous. It should never have been started in the first place.
So, we've got this. You talking about the channel crisis, which is it's called up by the left. The refugee crisis, although actually I'm a socialist, I wouldn't call it that. They call it a refugee crisis. They call it the crisis of asylum seekers and this sort of thing. The only thing is that there's now many thousands of Albanians linked to their organised crime networks in Albania, now over in the UK. What is actually going on? Because obviously the French are kind of rubbing their hands saying, ha, 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 you know. The Brits don't seem to be able to stop, you know, we don't seem to have been able to stop them at all, what, you know, whatever our Home Secretary is.
Yeah, I mean, basically, fairly obviously, and I think you have to keep to simple facts here. If they're travelling from France, they're travelling from a safe country, so they're not an asylum seeker because they don't need asylum from France. If they want to, if they're in France already, wherever they're from originally, if they're in France already, they shouldn't be taking their lives at risk and going on a crossing across the English Channel. They should be staying in France if they are genuinely fleeing war-torn countries that they may have come from, then France is safe and France is fine and they should stay there. Once they get in the channel, obviously we have a duty of care to pick them up because we're basically rescuing people. But the idea that you could return them to France, or the idea that they can come back to the UK and very quickly be sent back to their country of origin, is for the birds while we're in the European Convention on Human Rights. And I, because the human rights lawyers just use clauses from that to stop us deporting anyone. And that's why we haven't been able to get any flights out to Rwanda. So I was at the Conservative conference and I managed to ask Jacob Rees-Mogg at a fringe meeting, should we leave the European Convention on Human Rights? And his answer was no. And he basically said, I've got my own reservations about the European Convention on Human Rights, but I think we should find ways to bypass it with legislation, which is what we're currently now trying to do. Well, reasonably good answer, but that government's now been brought down and Jacob Rees-Mogg's not involved anymore. Now, Suella Braverman wants to come out of the European Convention on Human Rights. I'm pretty certain they can't do it in this parliament because it wasn't in the manifesto and it's too big and they wouldn't get it through parliament, let alone the Lords. But they can put it on the manifesto for the next general election. They can say, if you vote for us, we're going to come out of the European Convention on Human Rights and we will sort out the channel crossings. And, of course, Labour won't do that. So that would be clear blue water. And if she continues to get blocked from this process, I think it will bring the government down, because quite clearly, while we're in the ECHR, we're never going to resolve the Channel crisis. So for the next 2 years, we're not going to be able to resolve it at all. But that's a step for me.
All right. Well, anyway, Nick, can you just tell listeners how they can find your group, unfortunately, on Facebook, which many of us find is rather an annoying platform to do these things on, but you're there, so that's the way it is. So where do we how do we find you?
I'm there. So if you type into Facebook, the 17.4 million, so the, you use the numbers 17.4, the 17.4 million want no deal, and then there's a dash, and then the Nick Simon group. Please find the group and join the group. We're a happy band of Brexiteers. We have people from Labour and Conservative and UKIP and whatever political background. We're quite a hard-hitting group as well. We don't shy away from saying it how it is. I've got some admins on the group that are brilliant, and one of them is involved in the Bruges group, which I go to Bruges group meetings, and that's brilliant because you just meet everybody. I mean, I've met all the pro-Brexit politicians, and, you know, so many of them, purely by going to the Bruges group. You get to speak to some amazing people. But yeah, it's a quite a popular group for people who simply think that we would have been better just to leave on WTO terms. And, you know, everybody's welcome.
Okay, Nick Simon, thanks very much for joining us.
Brilliant. Thank you.